Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice in the Magnus Protocol. I'm here to let you know that Rusty Quill will be attending UK Games Expo at the Birmingham NEC this May the 29th to May the 31st. We are hosting two free shows, along with our friends at Monte Cook Games and Indie Boards and Cards. If you come along to the Monte Cook Games stand at the Expo, you will be able to demo the Magnus Archives role-playing game and the Magnus Protocol Mysteries game and grab a copy for yourself. You can find out more about our shows at rustyquill.com/expo, that's rustyquill.com/expo. You will need a ticket for entry to the UK Games Expo, but once inside, Rusty Quill shows and demos are 100% free on a first-come, first-served basis.
Hi everyone, it's Jahan here. Today we're sharing an episode from a podcast on the RQ Network, Cold Tapes. Cold Tapes is an award-winning murder mystery audio drama inspired by true crime. In this first episode, called Operation Antelope, the brutal murder of Andrew Fairfield on a remote Antarctic base thrusts DCI Tessa McAllister into the claustrophobic lives of an isolated community of international scientists and crew. Through police interviews, covert recordings, and audio diaries, Tessa hears hidden agendas, concealed criminal histories, violent psychosis, and dangerous conspiracy theories that help her uncover the truth behind the murder. With the murderer still on the base, it's a race against time to untangle the maze of deception, revealing chilling truths buried beneath the ice. 16 suspects, one murderer. Can you solve it? To listen to more, you can click on the link in the description or search for Cold Tapes wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find more information at rustyquill.com or coldtapes.com. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
DCI McAllister.
Tessa, John here.
Oh, sir.
How are things?
Oh, you know, can't complain.
How very noble of you. Everyone else does.
All right then, won't complain.
I mean, something's come in and it's not exactly uncomplicated.
I'm all ears.
33-year-old male, name of Andrew Fairfield, found dead a few days ago, 21st of June. His body was found at the bottom of a small ravine. Crevasse, apparently there is a distinction.
Right.
It's about a 30-minute walk away from the Antarctic base he'd been working at.
Antarctica?
Yeah, the base is called Bowers something, Bowers Wilson.
So what's the Met got to do with it?
Yeah, I'm just getting to that.
Looks like orienteering was never my strongest point, but surely this one goes to the Aussie force, right? Or wait a minute, is it the Kiwis?
No, it's a bloody jurisdictional minefield because of what's called the Antarctic Treaty, and also there's the overall politics.
Right.
There was talk that the case nearly fell to the Yanks because a US company operates the base, but for now, this investigation is falling under UK jurisdiction because Fairfield is a UK citizen.
Right.
It seems like Antarctica itself is a kind of no man's land.
Where was Fairfield from, exactly?
London.
Okay. Better get my thermals out of storage then.
Yeah, so this is the issue. Nobody's getting to the base and nobody's leaving that base for months. It's completely inaccessible during the winter months.
Wait a minute, 21st of June, that's their midwinter, right?
Correct.
Look, not that I'm angling for a holiday here, but I'm sure you can get a plane to land or something, right? No?
No planes in or out. Their engines freeze, apparently, as does the fuel.
Well, who's there?
Yeah, this is the hard bit. The base is totally cut off for at least another 3 or 4 months. So the investigation is going to have to be done remotely.
Look, I'm not saying that's impossible.
Tessa, it's the only possibility, I'm afraid.
Do they have a cause of death?
Yeah, it appears to be blunt force trauma to the head.
How do we even carry out a post-mortem? Look, I'm not trying to kibosh a remote investigation, but I just want to make sure we're covering our tracks here, John.
I appreciate that, but listen, even though we can't transport the body, any official cause of death can't be 100% confirmed at this stage. However, the base medic has carried out a makeshift post-mortem of sorts.
Wait a minute, the base medic, that's going to be tampering with any further evidence, surely?
Under supervision. I listened to the recording just now, and everything suggests that we're looking at murder here. I'll get that audio across to you shortly.
So you said he was found at the bottom of the crevasse? I mean, so how do we know he didn't fall or jump?
Well, it seems highly unlikely. His injuries don't line up with a fall. Also, he wasn't wearing all the appropriate clothing for venturing outdoors in those conditions. He had some, but these people take their get-ups seriously. The officer in charge of the base thinks it's suspicious that he was missing these layers.
Okay, well who found him?
Said officer in charge, Johan Garson, along with his deputy, Matteo Lombardi.
Mm-hmm.
They work for a company called Kioni Industries, who run the whole base.
So, did you say Kioni?
Yeah, have you heard of them?
Yeah, from my military days. I mean, not for a long time now. God, I had no idea they'd moved into Antarctic exploration.
Yeah, and according to Google, space bases too, apparently.
Well, I guess we'll have to diversify. Sir, can you just take me through how he was found?
Yeah, apparently there's a GPS tracker sewn into everybody's coat. When they discovered Fairfield's gone missing, likely having left the base, they activated the beacon and led them straight to him.
What, so the crevasse suggests it was made to look like an accident?
Well, that's what we need to find out. Seems the GPS was new kit. Without it, chances are the body would never have been found. Those in the base would assume the victim got dressed up, left the base for a walk, disappeared, lost in a blizzard or something.
And was there a blizzard?
Don't know.
And people do that. Do they just go for a walk?
Not without signing the logbook.
I take it he hadn't.
No. Listen, unfortunately, this isn't the only strange thing that happened off the base over this time period. And the two things may not be related at all, but it's worth mentioning. A couple of weeks before Andrew's body was found, the base's engineer, Mark Rennick, had a full psychotic breakdown. The crew were forced to sedate him, and then they had to lock him in a makeshift cell.
Right. What's that got to do with our victim?
Fairfield seems to have questioned the nature of Mark's breakdown on a number of occasions. He said he found it too fast and the breakdown too extreme. He had his suspicions that someone was drugging Mark or doing something to cause the breakdown. He was apparently very vocal about it.
Wait, could this guy Mark have been taking any drugs himself?
Well, possibly. It's all up for investigation.
Wait a minute. What authority would Andrew have to make that call? Was this just his observation?
Sorry, I should have led with this. Fairfield's a behavioural scientist, a doctor. He was down there doing research on the entire crew's psychological state.
Psychological state during a period of extreme isolation?
Exactly.
Christ. Oh, that sounds like opening a can of worms. How many people are there on this base?
16 left on this one. It's one of the smaller bases. That includes Mark, who's still locked up. And since Andrew's death, there's a base curfew in place, so we need to make this a priority. They really don't want anyone else losing their shit.
But curfew... Who's making all these decisions right now?
Apparently it's base protocol. I'm guessing it's coming from Kioni.
Oh, God. I don't know, sir. I mean, I have got a lot on with my current cases.
But
I mean, I'm up to my ears.
You've got good DIs on the others. Leave them working on those for now.
Yeah, but I'm getting really close on the Malvern case. I don't want to let go of that now.
Delegate,
I mean, I'm just...
Professor, this has to be the focus. You'll only have access to the 16 crew members remotely, so I need you to be handling all the main interviews. Someone amongst them is our killer, and the others may be witnesses. But I need your experienced judgment here.
Okay, can we video conference?
I don't know. I think it may just be calls.
I need to see their faces. I can't.
Hester, I can't do anything about their communication setup, can I? I'll ask. Now listen, there's a time difference.
Go on.
They're 12 hours ahead, so I fear you'll be working mainly nights for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, perhaps you should have led with that.
Yeah, perhaps. Listen, you won't be alone.
Right, okay, yeah, talking of which, who's going to be on my team? I'd love to take Mike with me on this one. I think it's essential.
No, sorry, Tess, I need to keep him where he is for now.
What?
You'll have access to all your normal resources, of course, and I'm assigning Detective Sergeant Naveen Balsara to the case. He's a great Tier 5 advisor, comes highly recommended.
Okay, yeah, understood. Okay, have you assigned a case name yet?
Yeah, Operation Antelope.
Jesus, how are we onto case names with A&N already?
Well, it's been a busy year.
Right, say that again.
An account has been opened on Holmes already, and the operation name is allocated to this case.
Okay. Look, I'm going to want access to everyone on the base's phones. I mean, If I say pretty please and they still won't give them up, then who do I head to for a court order?
God knows. As I say, this one's a jurisdictional nightmare, but let me try and find out.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Does the victim have family here?
Yeah. I've already appointed DC Ephraim Agwegbo as the lead FLO. He's made contact with the family already.
Yeah, great. Look, I'll also speak to them today.
Great, thanks.
Okay, so, getting the ground running. I'll get DS Balsara to speak to the intelligence unit, start pulling information on, 16 people at the base, background checks, any records. Regarding the engineer's breakdown, I think we're going to need to speak to a psychologist. I'm just not sure why Andrew Fairfield would see a red flag over Mark's presentation of symptoms.
Yeah.
Actually, likewise toxicology. I mean, if Andrew was onto something, we would need to know what substances could have precipitated that kind of breakdown, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. The CEO of Keone Industries has asked to schedule a call for today. They're highly invested in getting this resolved, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Nothing short of a PR disaster for them.
Yeah, not just them. I've got the Defence Department at Whitehall breathing down my neck about it.
Oh, no pressure there, then.
Never is.
Yeah, it's a good thing I'm a bloody insomniac.
Yeah, see, I knew this case had your name all over it.
Yeah, great, thanks.
Professor, I've got to take this. Bye for now.
Yeah, bye.
To listen to the next exciting episode, you can click on the link in the description or search for Cold Tapes wherever you get your podcasts, or you can find more information on rustyquill.com or coldtapes.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Alex here, founder and CEO of Rusty Quill Limited. In case you haven't heard, there is now a Magnus Archives novel. The Library of Jürgen Leitner is set in the world of the Magnus Archives and written by Nebula Award-winning author Premi Mohammed with our very own Jonathan Sims. The story follows Hugh, a university dropout, desperate to find somewhere to belong and his new job at an esoteric library. The books he must investigate for the enigmatic Jürgen Leitner are not normal, because the library is not a vault, sealed and silent, but a hive, alive, buzzing, and ready to sting. The Library of Jürgen Leitner releases October 27th, 2026, but you can pre-order it right now in the US and UK from your local bookshop or by using the link in the episode description. If you live outside of the UK or US, you may be able to make an international order for this first publication, but it depends on individual retailers' shipping policies.